Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Watermark OC Church Sunday Message. Watermark is a generational community that is crazy passionate about starting a conversation about God, your relationships, and authentic love. If you're interested in getting more information, please click the link in the show notes for next steps. Thanks again for listening. It's our hope and prayer that this message would transform your life.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday to you. Welcome to church. We are continuing our brand new series today, Moses, Strengthening the Soul. My name is Ben Appleby. I'm one of the pastors here at Watermark. Before I get into the message that God put on my heart for today, for this weekend, I want to do a reading for our current times, this current social upheaval. That's what I mean by these current times. You have to clarify now. It's gotten so many layers and layers of conflict and trial. And I want to do this reading. I was searching for just the right word. God, what is it for our time? And once again, he led me to Romans 8. I want to read this for you. A few highlights from the entire chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. Paul outlining what it's like, this new life we have in Jesus. And he starts right here in verse 1. He says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." This is a reading, by the way, for everyone. For everyone. Whether you're happy, sad, angry, marginalized, for all people. And the first thing I want you to understand about the gospel is that there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. Isn't that so necessary in a condemnation cultural moment? Paul opens that very first verse. There is therefore no more condemnation for those who belong to Christ. He goes on, verse 4. Jesus did these things so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Justice paid when we could never afford it. This is just one chapter from one book in the whole Bible. 66 books. One book, one chapter. Verse 6, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. We are controlled by the Spirit, not the media, not even what our best friends say, not social, nothing but the Spirit alone controls our every thought. That's a radical idea, but it's still good for us today. I want you to know that and hear that and internalize that. There are pastors who are losing their bearing right now, who are suggesting that the gospel is not enough. To simply preach the gospel is not enough in this political moment. I think that Paul would disagree. We need to be controlled by the Spirit. He goes on. This is just Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are his heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. What do I know? I know that all of us, as believers, yes, I'm speaking to believers this morning, of every race and gender and family of origin, family history and country history, that we are all his children, all his heirs, all his family, and also, as family, we share in one another's burdens and suffering, just as Christ shared with us. We are one family in these times. Verse 23, and we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait, here's the key part, with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he's promised us. So we live in the now and not yet of God's kingdom. Of the kingdom of heaven, of heavenly things. The right now, heaven here and now, but the heaven not totally complete. But here's the key word for you, who especially those of you who are afraid and riddled with anxiety and worry as you look around and you read the news, you see the pictures, you see the posts on social media, and you think, man, are these the worst times ever? Let me just say quickly, practically, no, they're not. This country alone has seen much worse, tragic, terrible, awful, nuclear war level fears and anxieties. But the principle from Scripture I want to get at is that as believers, we are always hopeful, even in uncertain times. Please hold fast to this truth. And finally, at the end of the chapter, we are reminded that victory through love is the only way to get peace and reconciliation in these challenging times. And this is what it says right here. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, or fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. We have victory in Jesus. So whatever your background is, whatever you are feeling this morning, this weekend, this last week, or next week, whatever next week may bring us, please hold fast to the Word of God. When the whole world around you would let you believe that you can't turn to the Word of God in this time, it's not practical enough, it's not political enough, please let me encourage you. There is a word for our times in one chapter, in one book of the whole 66 books that make up the Bible. I want to pray for you right now, and then we'll get into the Word. God, I just thank you so much for your presence in this time. I thank you that you are in control. Even though we look around and we see the world that is out of control, you are in control of history. Good stuff, bad stuff, everything in between. You have never been unseated from the throne, God. Not 50 years ago, not 100 years ago, not 200 or 1,000 years ago. You have always been on the throne. Thank you for being in control. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. I pray that every single person would feel that as they're watching from home. Wherever they're watching from, wherever they're listening from, fill them with your peace. And God, churn every single one of our hearts and minds to your word, because it is the one true thing in our time of uncertainty. Bless this time together, Lord. Bless this word that I'm about to give, that we are about to receive. May it settle our souls and anchor us in you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been in this series, Strengthening the Soul, and the soul is that intangible inner life. You know, kids are more familiar often with our soul because they're more honest with their feelings. They just blurt out and burst out and melt down. And as we grow into adults, we learn very well to suppress those feelings and those emotions, which are really indicators of our soul. This series, beyond addressing that predicament, will help you in your identity. It'll help you in your calling, in your limits, and your leadership. That's what this series will do. It'll touch on all of those things. We want to give you tools to weather these turbulent times and beyond, if you can understand the reality of our soul. Now, last week, the launch of this series, Bucky talked about looking inside yourself, going deep into your feelings and into your past, into your old habits and patterns, the things that are holding you back from a full life in Jesus. You got to go back and listen to it, watch it. I want to continue a part of that idea. And one of those things that I want to show is through this illustration. If it's not already distracted you for the first 3 minutes of the message. Have you ever heard that phrase, clear as mud? It's that great phrase. I've heard it many times as a pastor, as a leader. I've just given information, given a training, just conducted a staff meeting, and people walk away. They don't have to say it. You can see it across their faces. Yeah, Ben, that was about as clear as mud. Why? Because it's not like this, which is still a little bit cloudy. It's like this. You can't even see through it. It's completely a cloud, a blur, a storm of sediment. And that is the big idea this morning, this weekend. I want to talk about how our soul is like this raging bottle right here. We cannot even see, we can't even name what the things are that are full of tumult in our souls. It is just unsettled waters. And how do we move from this to clarity? The clarity of seeing God's purposes for our life. And I want to speak to the whole family this weekend, as I will be doing in person, 8:30 Sunday morning, with kids, families, adults, with our sanitary and our safe environment on the back deck. But as I think about this idea, sediment, my attention was drawn to the story of Jesus. Many kids listening or watching at home, whether you're youth or you're fifth grade, third grade, or maybe even a little younger, maybe you've heard this story in your kids' classrooms, the famous story of Jesus healing the blind man. As I was thinking about sediment, I remembered, what's that story? When Jesus actually used mud, just like this product, that's what's in here, by the way, that's just mud, that is mud, dirt, in water. And what was that story? It comes from John 9, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read it right now. As he went along, that is Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What's the reason he was blind? The sins from his parents, which is a distorted, religious, false way of viewing illness and injury? Jesus responds, setting the record straight right away. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I make a clear path in unsettled waters. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, his spit, his holy, anointed Jesus saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. This is so key what happens. This is so important what happens next. Verse 7. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seen. He's healed. He's cured miraculously, wonderfully. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, because he's standing there, I am that man. Ah, so much good stuff from this story. You see, I'm amazed. As I search the Gospels, the story of Jesus healing a blind man is listed. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John throughout all the Gospels. But this is the only one that mentions the mud, the sediment. This is the only one that mentions the bathing in the pool called scent. This is the only one that devotes almost an entire chapter to this man's story before, during, and after Jesus. And as I look at this man who had spiritual, physical blindness, Jesus touches him, uses the murkiness to create sight in him again. I just think about how that's a reality for every single one of us emotionally and spiritually right now. How many of us are walking around blind to the unsettled waters of our soul? The sediment stirred up, shaken about all over the place. We can't even name it. We can't even see it. We don't even know what's going on in our own hearts. And we need God to bring us clarity. Bring us clarity so we can walk into whatever the next step is. And I believe, you guys, so much so that the Lord wants to free a generation of believers from sediment to sight. You can write that down right now. If you have done what Melissa suggested, and you've done what we always suggest on a weekend, and you've carved apart this time, and you're taking notes, just write that down right now. What if, Lord? What if, Lord, you were calling an entire generation of believers from sediment to sight? And it starts in here. It starts right inside each one of our own souls. You see, in this book we read as a leadership team, Ruth Haley Barton, Strengthening the Soul, uses the picture of sediment in a bottle to describe the status of our souls. She says, when we're running around, rushing all over the place, stressed out, when we filled our eyes and our ears to the brim with media content and the drama and conflict of the day, there is a tangible cost to our souls. Usually, by the way, it is mirrored in the outside world. So that topsy-turvy, crazy, chaotic mess that is our soul then becomes reflected out here for all to see, touch, taste, interact with. It's a jumbled, turbulent mess. But, if we sit long enough, and I'm going to have to sit for a minute, but you're going to see, I'm going to hold it up ever so slightly and ever so still, that it becomes a little bit more clear. If we can sit enough with the Lord, all the messy things will settle and you'll be able to see more clearly. And not just the path to take, by the way, but you'll also be able to name and claim the mess of feelings and emotions that you're currently going through. How many of us have done that? Honestly, just a raise of hands. How many of us have actually carved out quiet time where we put the phone away for even a few minutes, or let alone an hour or a whole day, and just sat with the Lord and let all the wave of emotions come flowing back from the previous 6 days? It's such a tough but important discipline. Well, you see, Moses, as this is a character study, the man Moses, the man, the myth, the legend, but he was also just still a man who had his own baggage and things that he was processing and going through, was going through the same thing. And you'll see this right here. We'll pick up the story again in Exodus chapter 2. You can turn there now. I'm going to read 14 and 15 and then jump over to verse 22. It says this, the man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Now remember, this is the moment when Moses, who was raised by the Egyptians, but really was an Israelite by blood, he's raised by the Egyptians. He never feels at home. He always feels out of sort. He's watching the Egyptians just drive the nation of Israel as slaves. And he has been so discontented with the injustice done to one of his Israelite brothers that he slays an Egyptian. And then he comes out the next day to check on them. and presses the Israelites, hey, why are you treating your brother that way? And this is the response. Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. Verse 15. When Pharaoh heard this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. You see, it says that Moses was afraid for his life. Is that anxiety enough? Is that turmoil? Is that tumultuous? Is that rough and unsettled seas? He says he fled for his life. Is that hurry sickness enough for anyone here that he ran for his life? Have you ever ran for your life before? Probably very few of us in earnest. So Moses runs into this foreign land. He has his one, as an exile, he is this person sent away into the desert. It's his own testing in the wilderness. So many of us, right? We feel like we're in this wilderness moment. First, it's quarantine and pandemic. That continues. And then we have social unrest on top of that. For some of us, it's a way greater stress than others to have that added to this already wilderness season. And so we're running and we're taken away just like Moses. And yet verse 22 has such a powerful churn of events. There's an amazing change that happens as Moses starts to sit in Midian and the sediment begins to settle. There's a key line as Moses meets his wife and they have a child. And here it says in 22, Zipporah gave birth to a son and Moses named him Gershon, saying, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. You see, when the sediment begins to settle, you get clarity, very simply. You get more clarity on the status of your soul and of your life. And that is the clarifying moment for Moses. Moses is saying, I never knew who I was. I was told I was someone else. The world told me I was someone else. The government told me I was someone else. My friends and my media told me I was someone else. But now that I've had some time to sit and become settled, I am beginning to understand who I am, even if it's just a step above where I was before, a foreigner in a foreign land. It's not all tied up in a bow, and that's not what I'm saying, that everything gets worked out perfectly, and it's all the prayers answered, and all the questions of the universe answered. No, but we at least begin on this process of clarity. My question, and this is where I'm going to get really intensely practical here. My question to all of you and all of us is, why is it so hard to do this? Now, take away the difficulty of just getting time alone, getting stillness, getting quiet. Why else is it so hard to do? And I think one of the reasons is because we are stark, raving, terrified of looking at the junk in our own hearts. We have a crippling inability to practice introspection, to look inside ourselves. I've seen this so many times. Men's small groups, leader meetings will ask the question, maybe you've received this question before, hey, how's your heart? What's God teaching you, showing you, growing in you in this season? And we may begin with a little bit of a personal answer, you know what? And then before you know it, we're spectating and giving opinions about the latest political crisis. What? How did we get there? Why can't we just sit right here and be present with what God wants to do in our inner lives? Name it, clarify it, and then go to God with those feelings and emotions and experiences in prayer and help and let Him make sense of it. I've seen it play over time and time again. We will run, we will flee rather than actually introspect on what's going on inside ourselves. Barton, the same author of this great book, calls it self-knowledge. Why is self-knowledge so important? Why is it such a spiritual and emotional practice for every single one of us right now and for every season we may face in life? Well, because as she says, it's essential preparation for good news. That's a direct quote. It's essential preparation for serious good news. And why is it such good news? Because it's a clearing the decks for action. You see, Moses was spinning his wheel, which led to him fleeing out of control. How many of us are on the cusp of being out of control? We've already tried spinning our wheels. We've tried control. It doesn't work. We're spinning out of control. And when we finally let the sediment settle, we get that clarity, which is the launching pad for action. Moses getting prepared to do the greatest leadership work of all history. He's going to lead thousands, hundreds of thousands of people through the wilderness to the promised land. This is a huge job of leadership. And God had to bring him through this brokenness, through this wilderness, through this sediment, in order to fulfill his greatest calling. So why is vision and clarity of self-identity in Christ, why is it so important? Because it's the springboard for our callings and our destiny. Every single one of us, I don't care if you're Gen Z, you're a teenager, you're 20-something, millennial, 30, 40-something, 50, 60-something, and beyond. We've all floundered in that question. Who am I, Lord? Where am I being called to, Lord? What would you have me do? What is my purpose and my destiny? We can't get there because of the unsettled nature of the mud, the sediment. Until we settle down, until we introspect, we'll never see it. Now, there's a great, great churning point again. Moses is broken. He's led through the wilderness. He begins to clarify his identity, and then he's about to get his calling. And yet, we have to even learn to turn our heads and see God. I love this moment. It's one single verse that we so easily glance over right here in Exodus chapter 3 now, verse 4. It says this. This is the burning bush moment, the famous burning bush moment. Moses sees in the distance a burning bush. And it says here in verse 4, the Lord saw him step aside to look. And God called to him from inside the bush saying, Moses, Moses. Moses answered, here I am. We've read that verse. If you've been to church even for a couple years, you've probably heard this story a million times. And yet it's so easy to skip over that very first sentence. He stepped aside. Some translations, some versions of this verse in your Bible will say, he turned aside, and then the Lord spoke. When God saw, Moses had stopped, paused, taken notice. Then God spoke and gave his orders, gave his vision, gave his strategy. And this is another amazing thing just to write down so you can pray and process through it this whole week. Write it down right here. Sometimes we are blind to the bush that is burning in our backyard. That's Barton's words, not mine. I wish they were mine, but it's a powerful sentence if you let it be. We have become blind to the bush that is burning right in our backyard. What are the practical ways, Ben? Great, that's a great mystery. Our souls, great. It's not very tangible, but fine, Ben. I'll entertain it because I feel emotional. Ben, how can we practically turn aside? And how where practically are the burning bushes in our daily lives? How about this? Do we pay attention to what our kids are showing us? Do we pay attention to what our kids are showing us? They are giving us data every single day about what they need, about how they need to be formed in Jesus themselves every single day. Thousands of opportunities to do that. Are we paying attention to the input and the data you're receiving from your spouse or significant other? Every single day, they are making bids for intimacy, one great pastor and author said. Every single time we have a conversation, a tough emotional talk or a conflict, we are making bids for invitations for intimacy. Are we paying attention to those bids? Can we even see those because our soul has been settled through all the debris? Pay attention. Can we turn aside and pay attention to the conversation God wants to have, wants you to have with your coworkers, your family, your neighbors? Can we pay attention to that voice, that still small voice in our heads? We have to turn aside. Some of us still have been struggling with this idea. Ben, how do we really hear God? Is he really going to give me, as I said 2 weeks ago, step-by-step directions? I didn't believe it then, and I still won't believe it if you repeat it. Well, look at all I want to do, you guys, is look at the truth of Scripture. Where do I get these ideas? I look at the truth of Scripture. And turn with me now, if you will, to Deuteronomy 30, 14, in either your Bible app or your print Bible. And look what it says here, Deuteronomy 30, 14. It says in verse 14, the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. How do we know? How do we know what we should do? And this is so good. This is why I say I want to talk to the whole family. How do we know what we should do? We need to learn obedience. How do kids even know what the difference between right and wrong? We learn right and wrong by listening to the law that God has written on our hearts. That's such a key difference between just rule following and listening to the voice of God. God says that he won't abandon us. He won't leave us hanging. He doesn't make us strive and search for him. He has baked it into our very hearts and our very souls. And that's how I define right and wrong, by the way. For you families, you parents, you singles, you new to church, you children out there, right and wrong is defined as us moving toward God and his calling for our life, or moving away from God. And every single one of us has that opportunity in our daily lives. So as we wind down, I just want to recap. We need time for the chaos in our souls to settle. Why? So that we can turn aside and notice the great work God is doing in our life, and then we can seek understanding about what it means. We need to take time in stillness to quiet the crazy, unsettled waters. We need to take that time to let the chaos settle. We need to turn aside so we can take note. And after taking note, we actually bring these petitions before God and ask him, what does it all mean? How do we gain understanding? And God will give you burning bush moments. I promise you he will. There's such a practical way to do this. And you know what? It's not always negative. We often think that the burning bush moments are just negative feedback that we get. No, maybe that's input. Maybe that's data. Maybe that's God speaking because I got tough feedback or I got criticism. Guess what? The fire can be wonderful, positive things. When your kids light up after a new revelation and you find out, man, maybe that's a part of their unique calling in the world. You can look all around you and find out where you need to make more of an investment in people or things with your time, because you see God is making provision for them. It's not just the negative things. God's awesome presence, his life, his activity is all around us if we will only open our eyes to see it. So, to end with an open-ended kind of practical application question, where do you see God blessing and affirming and leading you in your life right now? Where do you see him lighting up a runway for more? God is working there, blessing, affirming it, leading you into that area. Where is it? Can you take time to settle the settlement? Grab that clarity and pursue the Lord for understanding. You know, as I was thinking about this sediment, from sediment to sight, from sediment to sight to calling, I was thinking, what is the burning bush in our backyard in this moment? And I even asked God right before we sat down for this sermon time. I was asking God, and immediately the Lord dropped into my mind and into my heart. It's young people. There are young people, and where are they right now? But on the front lines of protesting in every single major city. You guys, hear me for a second. For so many of us, it is going to be a stumbling block when I say to you, the burning bush moment where God wants us to invest more, be present more, pursue more, be available for, listen more to. When I say it's protesters in this crazy moment, looters, no way, in this crazy moment, it's a stumbling block for how many of us who think Ben has officially lost it. He's off the deep end. And what does he not understand? Let me tell you something I understand. I understand that the lion's share of these protesters are who? What demographic is represented on the protest front lines? But our young, Gen Z, millennial, 18 to 28, and maybe a little bit beyond, my fellow millennial friends in their 30s, the most talented, gifted, energetic, passionate people being released to the front lines of protest for social justice. And what could it look like if the church, those who are driven and motivated and get our entire life from the gospel, what could it look like if we could champion the next generation and unleash them on the world? The burning bush in our backyard, you guys, is the next generation who is listening and looking for someone to give them something to believe in, something to hold on to, and something to fight for. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which sets people free, which is the only power to clear the storm in our hearts, is available to them, and you have it. I don't care if this is your first time to church, you're a new believer, or you've been a believer for 20 years, you have the keys to unlocking that fight, that protest, and channeling it for the good news of Jesus Christ in the world today. The kingdom come here and now today. And that, I believe, is the burning bush moment that God does not want us to miss. What else do you see? What else do you hear from God? Is the burning bush moment in our backyard that we need to look, turn to, understand, and release into their destinies. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for the fact that you are the ultimate soul caretaker. You are the ultimate soul shepherd. You want to guide and direct and clarify every single one of our souls, our hearts, that are just muddled and riddled with dirt and sediment. God, you're the only one who can restore sight. We are blind. So many of us are blind. Our friends, maybe even some of our protesters, our kids and our neighbors' kids are blind spiritually right now. They have all the passion in the world, but they are just dying to fight for something. We have the same power that you gave us through your Spirit, Jesus, to make those blind folks see again. But we must see first ourselves, Jesus. So lead us by the hand in that process so that we can lead others to see with clarity what you were calling them into. I pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I just want to remind you of a few practical things as we wind down. If you're new to Watermark, you got to go to watermarkoc.com/contact us. Go to watermarkoc.com/contact us. We would love to get in touch. Schedule a date where we can sit down, coffee or lunch, hear your story, and get you connected in this faith community, and just watch what happens in your life. See what God has for you. We're so glad that you found us, that you're joining us, whether in person or online. Online church is never going away, so maybe you're in another city. We love that you're here. We love that you're learning to fellowship with this community, and we want to pursue a relationship with you even more. So let us know how we can do that. Remember, we are beginning back deck services, 8:30. 8:30 back deck in person, 10:30 online. That is indefinitely. So the online part, but definitely for the summer, we believe we're going to be on the back deck. It's a family-friendly service. It's safe and it's strong, and it's going to be a great, great message time as we started that last Sunday. Last thing I want to say is Dad's Day. That is the 21st, Sunday the 21st. We're going to have breakfast burritos for everyone in attendance in the in-person service and for those who are not yet ready to return. That's okay. We get it. We appreciate it. We love you. And we just want to say we're going to do drive-through for those family members of the church who want a breakfast burrito that day, Sunday the 21st. Come on through after service around, I'd say, about 9:30, and we'll be right there ready to give you some snacks. We just want to say we love you. We're for you. We're with you no matter where you're at this week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
We hope that this message has challenged and encouraged you. If you need prayer, would like to join a small group community, or are interested in partnering with our work throughout Costa Mesa and Orange County, please go to watermarkoc.com. We would love to start a conversation.